25 goes to a brave and committed champion of peace, to a woman who keeps the flame of democracy burning amidst a growing darkness. The Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided to award the Nobel Peace Prize for 2025 to Maria Corina Machado. She is receiving...
I think you pushed us Europeans hard not to buy oil and gas from Russia, which I think is a very correct decision. Europe just put down its 19th sanctioned package. I think Russia is actually right now, both economically and militarily, not in a very strong place. And I think it's because of the commitments that we've made to Ukraine. So, you know, day by day on this one.
Yeah, we're going to get it worked out.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, October the 10th, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the big announcement from the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, which announced the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. And this year's winner of the Nobel Peace Prize was Maria Corina Machado of Venezuela. That is the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. She is a Venezuelan activist turned politician, someone who, according to the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, is trying to transition Venezuela from a dictatorship to a democracy. She is the winner of the 2025 Nobel Peace Prize. So who is Maria Corina Machado? Well, S.L. Campfan on X posted that Maria Corina Machado was groomed by the U.S. deep state for regime change ops. She was a handful of people selected from around the world for the Yale World Fellows Program in 2009. It's the same program that chose Russian opposition loony Alexei Navalny. Here is Maria Corina Machado with George W. Bush at the White House. Yeah, she has been involved in Venezuelan activism and politics for many, many years, working to try and bring democracy to Venezuela. And she was and is an opponent of Maduro. She is someone who would like to see a regime change of Maduro in Venezuela. She is the female Juan Guaido of Venezuela and the 2025 winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. So it did not go to U.S. President Donald J. Trump, the Nobel Peace Prize. So what does Trump do? An interesting pick from the Peace Prize Committee, huh? A very, very interesting pick to give it to someone that is working to get regime change in Venezuela, knowing that the Trump White House is also working to get regime change in Venezuela. And Trump is denied what he wanted so badly, which was that Nobel Peace Prize. So what does Trump do? What does Trump do now with regards to Venezuela? Does he push forward with regime change in Venezuela, supporting the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, supporting the goals of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee in getting regime change in Venezuela? Or does Trump back off from regime change in Venezuela and deny the Nobel Peace Prize Committee of the regime change in Venezuela and deny Corina Machado of assuming leadership in Venezuela, post Maduro Venezuela. Does he deny the Nobel Peace Prize Committee? Does he deny Corina Machado in the same way that they denied him of the Peace Prize? What does Trump do now? An interesting dilemma for the U.S. president. I will say this. Trump is going to be complaining a whole lot about the fact that he has been denied the Nobel Peace Prize. It is starting to rain. I need some cover. Yeah, he is going to complain a whole lot about this decision. I can see the Truth Social post right now. He's writing out that Truth Social post right now as I'm recording this video. I have solved 8 wars, going on 9 wars. And today, the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, they denied me of what should have been mine. Not because I wanted it, but because the United States of America deserved it. It wasn't for me, it was a prize for America. But the Nobel Committee, they have denied me, they have denied us of the Peace Prize. And they have given it to an activist in Venezuela. I could see him writing the Truth Social post. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Oh, man. He's going to be upset. He's going to be very upset. He wanted that Peace Prize really, really bad. He wanted that Peace Prize. And the pick of Machado of Venezuela. Oh man, that's going to hurt. That is going to hurt, and that is going to put Trump in a very, very difficult dilemma. What to do now with Venezuela? So Russia, before the announcement of the Nobel Peace Prize, they were asked, Ushakov, the presidential aide of Putin, and someone who has been very much involved in the negotiations between the United States and Russia. He was asked about Zelensky's comments from yesterday, where he said that that if Trump gives Ukraine Tomahawk missiles, then Zelensky was going to lobby the Nobel Peace Prize Committee so that the award could go to U.S. President Trump. And Ushakov was asked about this, and he said this was a monstrous comment from Zelensky. It really shows the type of person that that we are dealing with. The fact that Zelensky could make this ridiculous comment, give us Tomahawk missiles, and then I will lobby for you to get the Nobel Peace Prize. That was Ushakov's comment with regards to that statement from Zelensky. And then he was asked a follow-up question. If Russia was asked by the U.S. president to support him for a Nobel Peace Prize, would Russia support that? And Ushakov, he said, yeah. He said, yeah. When asked whether Moscow would support a potential Nobel Prize for Trump, Ushakov replied, it probably would at this point if requested. If requested, it would support Trump getting the Nobel Peace Prize, but Russia was not asked to support Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize. But anyway, that was the statement from Ushakov. And Putin, he is at the Russia Central Asia Summit in Tajikistan, and he revealed a very interesting statement from Bibi Netanyahu. A comment that Bibi Netanyahu made to Putin when they spoke on the phone on October the 7th, I believe, they held a telephone conversation. And Putin revealed that Netanyahu wanted Putin to tell Iran that Israel is not looking for a conflict and they're looking for a de-escalation. That is what Putin said at the summit. And I quote, "We continue our trust-based contacts with Israel and receive signals from the Israeli leadership asking us to convey to our Iranian friends that Israel, too, is committed to further de-escalation and is not interested in any form of confrontation, the president said. Putin noted that Russia obviously can communicate with Iran and can work with Iran to try and de-escalate. And Russia can also communicate with Israel as well. And so Russia's in a very unique position to try and work towards some sort of a de-escalation and avoid a war between Israel and Iran. So he said that Russia's in this unique position, and that Netanyahu told him to tell Iran that he's not looking for a conflict. I don't know if you guys believe that or not, but that's what Putin said. And the fact that Putin is saying this publicly is very interesting, because Putin and his administration, they take the privacy of communications with world leaders very seriously, and they will never reveal anything that world leaders do not want them to reveal as they're communicating with them. And so the fact that Putin has revealed this in a public format means that Netanyahu, that Israel, was okay with Putin to reveal this part of the conversation with Netanyahu in such a public way. So that was an interesting statement from the Russian president. By the way, in the United States, since we're talking about the peace president Trump being denied the Nobel Peace Prize, in the United States, we have the Senate passing the bipartisan $925 billion defense policy bill, the 2026 National Defense Authorization Act, known as the NDAA, which will fund the Pentagon in 2026 to the tune of $925 billion. Bipartisan, overwhelming bipartisan support at a time when you have a government shutdown, right? You have the government shutdown, and when it comes to the MIC, when it comes to the military, to the Pentagon, to war, well, that will always be supported no matter what. So that was announced today as well. And what an interesting basketball court. Interesting color for a basketball court, huh? Cool. So let's move on, and let's talk about the big news for the day, which is the Russian drone and missile strike into Ukraine. A very big Russian drone and missile strike, which sent much of Ukraine into a blackout, which caused all kinds of blackouts in many cities and towns in Ukraine, mostly in the center of Ukraine, the north-south center part of Ukraine. We're talking about cities like Zaporozhye, Dnipro, Kremenchuk, Krivoy Rog, as well as Kiev. And much of Kiev was in a blackout. About 50% of the city, I believe, is what Kiev Mayor Klitschko said, was suffering from blackouts. The Russian military, they hit critical infrastructure, power plants, and stuff like this. Air defense systems, completely ineffective. And this follows up on the Russian military knocking out, according to Bloomberg, 60% of Ukraine's gas infrastructure. Its gas output was knocked out the other day by Russian missiles and drones. So you had the Ukraine military from 2-3 days ago launching HIMARS with the targeting and guidance of NATO. And they launched HIMARS from inside Kharkov City, and they caused a big-time blackout in the Russian border town of Belgorod. 40,000 citizens were left without power. And then Zelensky, after hitting Belgorod, he came out with a statement, and he warned Russia, if you strike our energy facilities, then we will cause even more blackouts in Belgorod and in Kursk, in the border towns and cities. And Russia's response to Zelensky's warning, well, you saw it. You saw it yesterday evening and this morning, and we're actually getting reports that... I need to get under a tree. We are actually getting reports that in a couple of days, this is according to Ukraine military sources, in a couple of days, Russia is going to launch a follow-up strike on Ukraine energy infrastructure. So the Russian military may be looking to knock out Ukraine's energy facilities as winter approaches. It's possible. Very possible. So there are rumors in Russian media from Nezavisimaya Gazeta, mainly, but other Russian media is picking up on this as well. These are rumors from Russian media that the Tomahawk deal has been done. Once again, I want to say these are rumors. There have not been any confirmations in the West, no confirmation in the Pentagon, no confirmation from the Netherlands, because the media outlets in Russia, some of the media outlets in Russia are saying that the deal is between the Pentagon and the Netherlands to purchase about 200 Tomahawk missiles, or they have already purchased those Tomahawk missiles, and they've been given the green light to now send those missiles to Ukraine. So that's the rumor that is floating around Russian media. The question of the United States providing Ukraine with Tomahawk cruise missiles seems to have been resolved. This is coming from TASS, by the way. Media reports say Washington has signed a deal with the Netherlands to send at least 200 such missiles that under NATO arrangements may be transferred to Ukraine, who will operate these weapons and for what goals remain unclear. Further on down the article from TASS, it says, judging by the geography of recent attacks on Russia, the Ukrainian armed forces appear to have been given approval to strike not only the distant areas in Russia's Volga region, but also targets beyond the Urals. This is coming from Russian news agency TASS, and they are reporting on what some Russian media outlets are claiming. Once again, no confirmation, zero confirmation of this from the Pentagon, from the United States, even from U.S. media, and no confirmation of this from NATO or from the Netherlands at all. So these are rumors and speculation, but I thought I would report on that because there are outlets that are talking about this in Russia. And let's shift gears now and talk about what is going on with Hungary and the European Union. It looks like the European Union is trying to pull a Russia gate on Orbán and on Hungary. And they are claiming that Orbán sent a spy to the European Union to spy on EU officials, and he's acting in the interests of Russia and China. This is a report that came out yesterday. Commission to Probe reports that Orbán's spies targeted EU officials in Brussels. A joint investigation by Germany's Der Spiegel, Belgium Daily, The Tild, Hungarian outlet Direct 36, and others reported that Hungarian intelligence officials disguised as diplomats tried to infiltrate EU institutions with Oliver Varhelyi, now a European commissioner, who was Hungary's ambassador to the bloc, an operative who was not identified by the news outlet, was stationed in Brussels between 2015 and 17 as a diplomat working in the Hungarian embassy's cohesion policy department. Documents revealed by the outlet showed, according to the reports, the operative actually worked for Hungary's Foreign Intelligence Service, cultivating contacts within the European Commission and other EU organizations, blah, 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 blah. And basically, the allegation is that Orbán, working through the Hungarian embassy, appointed someone into the EU who was trying to cultivate relations within the European Union in order to get information from EU officials. And now this is under investigation, and they have contacted various officials in the European Union who said they have notified Ursula von der Leyen about what is going on. And she said this is very serious. And the European Commission said that these are very serious allegations, and they're going to open up a very serious investigation into Hungary and Orbán. Yeah, and when you look at the outlets that work together to uncover this these spy allegations against Orbán, when you look at these media outlets and look at who's behind these media outlets, you begin to realize what's going on here. I did a little bit of what Brian Berletic suggests, which is to look at the about pages of these media outlets. And then when you find out who's been donating money to these media outlets, which claim to be nonprofit organizations, but they also say that they've received 10 or 15% of their funding from various other think tanks and grants. They've received grants from various organizations, they claim, but they're nonprofit and they get donations from the public, but we get 10% of our funding from grants. And then you go and see their grant page, and then you find the websites of the organizations that gave the grants to these media outlets, and then you find out who's sponsoring the organizations that give the grants. And Brian Berletic is 1,000% right. Eventually, if you go through enough layers, like two or three clicks down in all of these organizations that are funding one another, you eventually end up at the Open Society Foundation, and you eventually end up at organizations like the Ford Foundation. So once I did this, I took 5 minutes of my morning, and I went through who's behind these media organizations that have uncovered this plot, this spy plot against the European Union from Hungary. And I uncovered that when you dig deep enough, you eventually land on Open Society and the Ford Foundation and these types of organizations behind these nonprofit media outlets that are uncovering Orbán's spy operation. Anyway, I hope that made sense. Let's see, the foreign minister of Hungary, he has responded to Zelensky's statements, saying that whether Hungary likes it or not, Ukraine is going to enter the European Union. And Peter Szijjártó, he said, not so fast, Green Goblin, not so fast. Szijjártó said, look, man, if you want to enter the EU, you need the approval of every single member state. And the people of Hungary, they have voted already on this issue, and 95% of them in a referendum. Now, that's democracy for you. In a referendum, 95% of Hungarians who voted, voted against Ukraine entering the European Union. Szijjártó even said that the opinion in Poland is overwhelmingly against Ukraine entering the European Union, as is the situation in Slovakia as well. This is what Szijjártó said. I think the Ukrainian leader has completely lost his sense of reality, and maybe that explains why he is saying such crazy things, Szijjártó stated. Who becomes a member is not decided by those who want in, but by those who are already in, and it has to be decided unanimously. So as long as not everyone agrees that someone should become a member, they will not become a member. It is not rocket science. Got that, Zelensky? It's not rocket science. That is what Szijjártó is saying to Zelensky, who said that whether Hungary likes it or not, we are getting into the European Union, Podolyak, whether Hungary likes it or not. So, should we do a drone segment? Let's do a drone segment. There was a terrorist attack that was foiled in Belgium. And three people have been apprehended by the Belgium authorities. And according to the reports, they were looking to take out the Prime Minister of Belgium. And the way they were going to do it was by using drones with explosives. That is what we know so far. Three people have been apprehended. I believe one person has been released. Two are still being questioned. And the reports are that these people who have been arrested are young teenagers. And that's all we know at the moment. And they were going to use drones with explosives. And they had 3D printing a whole 3D printing setup so that they can create the explosive devices and stuff like that. And they were going to use drones to take out the Prime Minister of Belgium. So before we get into our clown world, do I have any more news? The E3, the European three, Germany, France, and the UK, they have signaled that they want in on Trump's board of peace for Gaza. They said they want to sit on the board of peace along with Tony Blair. So that's what the E3 have said. This is the same group that... The E3, the same group that decided to put the UN snapback sanctions on Iran from the JCPOA. That's who the E3 is. Now they want in on the board of peace for Gaza. So I thought I would mention that as well. And finally, we can do a clown world and wrap up this video. And we go to the Oval Office the president of Finland, Alexander Stubb, Mr. Stubb, he was in D.C. again. He is in D.C., Mr. Stubb, almost every week. It seems like he's traveling to the United States to hang out with Trump, to play golf with Trump, I guess. But anyway, he was in D.C. again. Something's going on there. And Trump was taking questions from reporters. And he said that the United States is the biggest territory in the world. He was talking about how Finland is going to be working with the United States to provide icebreakers. And he said that the United States working with Finland is going to be a very good partnership, and that the United States is the biggest territory in the world, which is not true, but anyway.
I was with you, and I ended up meeting you and knowing you, and I heard about Finland and their icebreakers, and I said, do me a favor, would you have your people take a look at what these people are doing? And it came out that, just as I thought, they had no idea what they were doing. And we got involved, and we ended up, we need these ships very badly, because we have a lot of territory, more than anybody. And so I'm very honored to have this deal. And thank you very much. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great partnership.
He said that. And then he started to complain about how one country in particular has not increased its NATO spending. And he said that country, with Stubb sitting next to him, that country is Spain. And he said if Spain does not increase its spending to 5% of GDP for NATO, then he is going to recommend that Spain get kicked out of NATO. He said that Madrid has been the only laggard in the bloc's push to increase military spending.
And most people thought that was not going to happen, and it happened virtually unanimously. We had one laggard. It was Spain. Spain. You have to call them and find why are they a laggard. And they're doing well, too. You know, the funny thing, because of a lot of the things we've done, they're doing fine. They have no excuse not to do this, but that's all right. Maybe you should throw them out of NATO, frankly.
You could see that Stubb was a bit uncomfortable as Trump was talking about kicking out Spain, right? Stubb was sitting next to Trump going, oh, man, what do I say now if they ask me if I think Spain should be kicked out of NATO? That was what was going through Stubb's mind, in my opinion. I hope they don't ask me about kicking out Spain. But anyway, yeah, that's what Trump said. Kick out Spain because they are the one laggard. Everyone else, according to Trump, has decided to increase their military spending to 5%, except for Spain. But I don't think Spain should worry. Everyone watching from Spain, no need to worry. Even if you do get kicked out of NATO, you're in BRICS. So no need to worry about it. You're the S in BRICS, according to Trump. So, you know, you got the win there. You got the entry into BRICS. So if you lose NATO, no problem. Anyway, that's the video, theduran.locals.com. We are on X, we are on Rumble and Telegram, and go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch and like this video, subscribe to this channel. I forgot to say it in the beginning of my video once again. But maybe tomorrow, I will remember to say like this video in the beginning of the video. Maybe not. Who knows? Anyway, that is it for me today on this rainy day in Moscow. Always difficult to do the walk and talks in the rain, but we got it done. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.